Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And from an even safer distance on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Zook.
An even safer distance. Hey, how's it going, everyone?
I'm signed up to get the jab. That's what's up. That's how it's
that
going.
That is exciting news, Brian. Well done. You'll be the same as me and Michael.
Well, I don't know which ones you guys got, but I don't think I got the same ones as you.
You're
guys.
Probably not going to get the AZ.
No, you won't get
so,
the AZ. No.
I can't get the AZ. I'm getting Moderna.
I might end up. I don't know if you've heard the term, but when you get the cocktail mix of the two, or two of the different ones, it's the Arnold Pharma.
Oh, that's funny.
The Arnold Farmer. What does that mean?
Arnold Pharma.
So an
Arnold Palmer is a mix of iced tea and
lemonade. Iced tea and lemonade.
There you go. That's good funny. Stuff.
That's really good. That
was a dad joke for you to start things off.
Wow.
I mean, although I didn't come up with it.
Father's Day is not enough till another month away. You got a lot of time here. We got many, many months to
Hold
another
my
month
craft,
before
yes.
that. Yeah, exactly. Hey, before I go here, I'm gonna tip a hat real quick here just to my family.
Your family?
It's my mom's birthday was yesterday, and my brother's is this Sunday. It's a big number, so he's not listening off. But I got something. I'll tell it off the air here. Look at that nice teaser. But I got something unique for him for a big number. So
did you get one of those cameo?
I might have. Yes, I might have.
Those things are really cool. I got Andre Dawson for my old man for his 50th.
I'm gonna tell
or
you
a couple
right
years
now.
Ago. Yeah,
my brother, if That's he's 50th, listening, but... which he won't be, but
I don't remember how old my dad
Andre
is.
Andre Dawson is definitely would be one I would get is the Hawk for sure. But there is another one. There's actually a Canadian version of Cameo that one you get in Canadian funds.
Memo,
I believe that's what it's called.
I was looking at that one because
and. The one I would like to get if I ever got one would be they actually have Timo Solani on it.
He's not that expensive either. He's only 100.
And it's actually pretty reasonable.
It's 113 bucks.
It's Brian,
which is a lot of money, but it's reasonable for that.
It is because I was gonna say is actually the crazy thing about this is a lot of baseball players on there. You can get some former Blue Jays.
Well, Ryan Howard, I think, is charging like $550 bucks.
The range of prices is insane. It doesn't.
You can get Gibby's on there for like $50.
Okay. So it's funny you say that, Brian. That was
so is Buck and Tabby. They're both.
I was actually going to get because I heard he's actually pretty funny because he might drop an F bomb here or there with his whatever greeting he's doing.
There's this hilarious video of him getting like it's all of his ejections from the 2016 season set I Need a Hero.
That's pretty
and
funny.
It's incredible.
But anyways, actually, I'll tell you guys off the air because I just in some case someone listens to this now and spoils it for my brother on Sunday there because I'm gonna surprise him about it. But I got a couple reasonably priced, and I think sort of what he was looking for or whatever. But it's, I'll say this, honestly, like, you know, COVID, there's not much positive out of it. I believe this kind of became much more popular because of COVID. There's just, people were just, you know, wanted to do stuff because they couldn't do birthday parties or celebrations or whatever. It's, yeah. I think it's a fun, fantastic idea. If you have the means to it and you want to do it, I will say this. I was impressed by the two messages I got from my brother, because I just thought they would just say happy birthday and then that was it. And thanks for the, like, check, the, right?
If you get the, some people are that, or some people I've heard are really bad. You got to do your research ahead of time. But like, for example, like the one I got from my dad for Andre Dawson is like, is no joke, 2 minutes long. And he's
that's awesome.
He's like, you know, your son loves you a lot. And I appreciate that you were a fan of mine for a number of years. And
I would,
like,
love,
that's why I played baseball. I'm telling you this,
I'm so jealous about that. Cause the Hawk in my day,
he's exposed, not that expensive.
I
think he's under $100.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, the Hawk, and to me it was actually the Hawk and Crow. It was Andre Dawson and Warren Cromartie were my two kind of favorite.
Well, my dad loved it.
But if your brother is listening, then he should know for the next time a birthday comes around.
I'm suddenly putting that in there. If he was somehow gleaned this out of the podcast world or wherever he is, you know, either tomorrow or afterwards about that. But anyways, it was just fun. If people haven't heard about that, you can get a lot of baseball players on there. Pete Rose is actually on
the
Canadian. Well, of course he is, right? So I thought that was quite, and you know what, actually another one I saw was Tim Raines, The Rock.
I haven't seen Timmy.
Yeah, I think he might be on the Canadian version. There's very eclectic mix on more of the Canadian version. Like, it's much more Canadian. Like, there's just a whole, like, a lot of ice hockey, obviously. I say ice hockey. Somewhere else might be, well, that's, you know, hockey is...
There's field hockey players as well.
Exactly, right? You know, but you know, yeah. And
all the Finnish people listening that play bandy.
Hey, I do want to say this also, Brian, I'll give you some credit here. Not too much, but I'll give you a little bit here. I was watching the Jays on a Thursday afternoon a bit here, you know, just kind of one eye a bit.
They're a good baseball team, aren't they, Zook?
You know what? They're an interesting baseball team because they aren't at full strength and they're finding kind of ways to win this. And yeah, that young nucleus is kind of getting there. Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? It's interesting. They've kind of pieced this together. It'll be nice when Springer actually, hopefully, you know, gets fully, fully healthy and stuff. But, you know, like, you're getting pitches like, you know, Ross Stripling. Stripling, sorry, and Robbie Ray, right? Like, I mean, seriously,
Ray is good. Don't you dare blaspheme Robbie Ray. He's good.
This is where, Brian, you need to just slow the roll here a bit. I'm giving the props here a bit. I don't know if it's sustainable for a whole year, but right now, unlikely. Those guys are, but Ryu was amazing earlier this week too. Boy, was he dealing. It's fun to see a team like that, because Mike, I'm talking a lot about the Jays, so we don't have to talk a lot about your Twins, because they're the opposite. They are awful.
Yeah, no, they are.
Do you know they have the worst record in the major leagues right now? The worst record. They're worse than everyone.
Yeah, it's a tough. Because I mean, at the very least, I thought they'd be like right in the middle of things.
They're
in the AL Central. They are
games out. I mean, if you could be eliminated in May, and that's not possible, but they're 10 games out. And we're not even in the middle of May. Like, they're actually projected. I know I heard the heavy side there. They're actually projected to lose 103 games.
Won't. They're too good for that. They'll figure it out.
You would think so. I'll tell you right now, Michael, I know you sent me an article about the bullpen there. The bullpen is their worst out of. They're not hitting either, but their bullpen is.
The bullpen is costing them games, right? Like, The piece that I sent you was from The Athletic from last week, I think, talking about kind of the historically bad pace that they're on right now with the bullpen. And it's a bullpen that, you know, I mean, obviously they let a couple of people go, but the people that they let go were, you know, like guys like Sergio Romo, who like have not played well on like their subsequent teams. It's not like they like let anyone go that could have helped them. It's just that the kind of core that they felt that they had in place is just god awful right now, and it's, I mean, it's right from the, you know, closer Alex Colome on down. Like, there just isn't anyone.
There isn't one pitcher you would be confident to go out on that mound anywhere after the starters.
No, and like, they're, it's costing them games, right? Like, because you totally look at like the win expectancy, and it, like, they go into late innings sometimes with like 70, 80, even like low 90% expectation of wins, and then they cough them up, right? Like, and it's just, it's so disheartening. You did hear me sigh, because I'm having a hard time wrapping around my head around this, because I felt like this was a good team.
Well, not only
they
that,
are a good team. It's just a weirdly bad. There's some voodoo over that bullpen, man.
On top of it, but because they were projected to compete, if not win this division, and right now they're competing against Detroit for last place, and it's dreadful. And the problem with baseball is when you get on this roll the opposite way, you know. And it didn't help that they got swept by Chicago, right? Like, who's now flying. They're, you know, and this is all early. Sure, things can change. But right now, they're on an epic pace here of just not only they cannot hold leads, but they can't get runs either. So that's a bad combination.
Their winning percentage is almost half that of Chicago.
Jeez, it's early, but I mean, 10 games out, they've dug themselves a hole early. Let's just say that, right? If they're going to come back, it's going to be an epic comeback, because even though we're so early, that's a lot of games you've given up, you know, to the front place White Sox there, even though Tony La Russa is trying to screw it up, but you know, somehow they're still winning.
They expect it. Like, so their run differential, first of all, would put them in third in the Central, right? So, you know, Chicago White Sox, it's, you know, 60, it's a plus 66. Cleveland's a plus 17. Minnesota's negative 15. Kansas City's negative 35, and Detroit's negative 64, right? Like, if you went just by run differential, the expected win loss would put Minnesota in third, but yeah, it's this bullpen who are losing close games late. They're like losing disproportionate to like what their run differential.
It's hurting their run differential too. Like, let's be honest about it.
Right, and that's the thing, is because they're going into some of these late games with a lead and then coughing it up.
Yeah, they're just. Whew, I feel real bad for you, Mike. I feel real bad for the people of Minnesota. Like, this is a good ball club with a bad bullpen, and it's the only bad part. And I don't know, at this point in time, I do not know how you fix it. Do you just start calling kids
Kenta Maeda, who's supposed to be the ace, he's only had one good start this year. Like, and I know this because I have him on fantasy, and he's been dreadful this year. Like, I mean, that's not an ace at all right now. He can't.
But the rest of their pitching's mostly been fine though, right?
Yeah, so, but there's people like, you know, Mitch Garver, who's non-existent, and Sano, who has done nothing.
Yeah, but they've made up for it.
Yes and no. I just
Donaldson is playing incredibly well right now. Incredibly
sure,
well.
Sure, but Sano's in a lineup, and he's batting maybe .125.
And I mean,
that's horrible. That's supposed to be a guy that, you know,
but
it's just,
getting more than you're expecting. You're getting more than you're expecting out of Simba, because he's drawing a gazillion walks. Jorge Polanco has been pretty great. I know he's injured right now, right?
No,
but Luis Arias,
Brian, you're over.
Arias has been
team.
Good.
This team is the last place team in the Major League Baseball. I know you're trying to make Michael feel good.
No, I'm legitimately. I'm not trying to make him feel good.
They're not good. They're just not good. Like, I mean, even though I know on paper and some of it is, but it's not translating at all. They're just finding ways to lose games.
The hitting and pitching has been fine.
No, it's not.
It's just the bullpen.
They need to score more runs too, because they know the bullpen's going to give up runs. They're not good enough. They're just it's dreadful right now. I will say this: the one good thing that's masking a bit is that it's no, it's not. Is that
yes, it is.
No, it's not.
If their average win expectancy going into the seventh inning is 63%. So you can't tell me that the rest of the ball club is bad if their average win expectancy is 63% going into the seventh inning.
I started with the bullpen. I admit that.
And that's fine. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that the rest of the ball club is good. The rest of the ball club,
they're not that good
proved you wrong.
No, because Sano, who's in the lineup.
Great. Miguel Sano is one bad player, Zouk. That does not make a bad ball club. We could put you on a Major League Baseball team, and that doesn't make the rest of the lineup bad. That just makes you bad.
Okay, whatever. I don't even want to get into this.
Well, so with the tempers flaring, that's a good time to pivot to the story about Target stopping selling baseball cards, amongst other trading cards.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
So, I mean, this is, of course, the We Can't Have Nice Things segments on the show. There have been a few incidents, because the sports card market has blown up again over the last year and a half, I guess, really, is when it's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's really been fueled by, I don't know if you paid attention, but there's, I don't know who the guy is for the Ringer. Mike would probably know better than me, but also... players are people like Phil Hughes also has been a big part of that. Former Twins pitcher Phil Hughes, I guess he's was the Yankees as well. He set up a YouTube channel that capitalized specifically baseball cards, but the sports card market in general has exploded, and some of the stuff is just like absurd. Like and packs. It's not just, I guess, it's cards, trading cards in general. Because
Pokemon cards too.
And Yu-Gi-Oh cards, oddly enough. And it's very bizarre. I don't understand it. Why all of a sudden it's just out of control.
Yeah, so this comes about last week. A Target in Wisconsin was locked down after a man was physically assaulted by four others over sports trading cards. And so for the safety of both their employees and guests at the stores, Target has across the entire franchise it won't be selling temporarily stop selling trading cards,
but you can still get guns somehow, right? So I mean, you know, they've got their priority set there in that the good old US of A, right? I mean, it's absolutely crazy. It doesn't make any sense, because unfortunately when we were younger, I mean, we all bought packs of cards. And there was one of the funnest things to do is to get cards. And it just sucks that now that's not going to be available for, you know.
Well, it's not just in Target, too.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. Wizards of the Coast, whoever runs the Pokemon Company and Nintendo put out partnered with McDonald's, and we're like having you'd get a pack of cards with a Happy Meal, and like adults were going and buying like all the Happy Meals so that way they could get all the trading cards. And that's ridiculous. It's possible to get packs of cards nowadays.
Because the market has just exploded again, right?
It's
just
silly.
And this is a bit of that COVID effect of, you know, people got money on their hands or whatever, right? But these things are just ridiculous all over the place. Like, you know, there's these pack they do it on podcasts, and they're opening up these packs, and what have we got? And they buy boxes of this stuff now, and it's just driving the prices insane. And what happens is you're driving actually the youth who, when we were younger, we could do this. I mean, you need money now to do this, like just straight up. Like, I guess that's why they're going to McDonald's. It's probably the cheapest way to get cards right now, because some of the stuff people are just, they're just hoarding these cards to just flip them and make money, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It just sucks. It just sucks the life
kind of smacks of the GameStop stuff, right? Like there's some of this like kind of speculative thing, right? There was a CNN business article about Target's decision that says, you know, in early February, Golden Auctions sold a Michael Jordan rookie basketball card for a record $738,000 at auction. The exact same item went for nearly $215,000 just weeks before. So someone bought it and flipped it and sold it again for like more than triple its value.
The point of trading cards, and I hope you guys agree with me, is not that they should be auctioned off or traded or hoarded like stocks. This isn't, it's supposed to be about enjoying your fandom. This is ridiculous. It's embarrassing and it sucks for everybody else.
My most prized cards are like, you know, my Tony Pena, like 1979.
Guys you like.
Guys I like.
Yeah. I mean, I'll side a little bit. There is, you know, I mean, you know, if you want to make a buck on it, that's great. I think the issue is that it sucks a lot of the joy away of what we used to do when we were younger, is we would just get cards and we didn't, you know, we would throw them on the wall there and whoever came closest to the wall would pick up the cards. I mean, now that you get, you're opening these packs for literally just monetary reasons, right? You're not even looking at the cards. You're just putting in into the plastics right away to make sure that they're mint or whatever condition. And then you're trying to sell them, right? So that's the difference where before we actually would get cards and we'd look at the backs and eat the chewing gum, and that was all fun. It was part of, that was a hobby, right? Now it's a business. Speaking that's the biggest
chewing gum. So this year, 2021, is the 70th anniversary of Topps first creating baseball cards. And so in 1951, I didn't realize this, but I was reading the Echoing Green, the book about the Ralph Branca home run.
Oh yeah, okay.
And so it's like, they talk about like it was came with a piece of toffee in the first year.
Toffee. That's wild. Okay.
And so they talk about, you know, this kids would like chuck the pieces of toffee at the players on the field at like the polo grounds.
That's funny.
That's good.
I had not realized that pre gum. I mean, we all know that like that pink stick of like chalk gum. But I did not know it started with toffee.
Well, the gum actually predated me. I never had gum.
See, I think, yeah, because gum, what happened, I believe if this is not true, is that we would have the gum when we were younger, and I believe the gum residue would stick on the cards. And so it actually would ruin cards. So eventually just said, well, plus also it's just one less thing you need to manufacture. You just have the cards instead. But yeah, gum was just part of the, you know, whatever the tradition they would just throw. And it was just literally, Brian, you're not missing anything. It was some of the worst piece of gum you'll ever have in your life if you chewed it, right? It was just rock hard and there was nothing to, after about three chews it was done. So, you know, but
I have tasted some of the gum.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, you occasionally you'll find it in, like, you know, in some old packs.
Yeah,
well, and the you just have to try it, right?
I was gonna say, even on top of that,
and it just now turns
it's
to
even
dust
10 times yeah it's even
it just turns to
worse.
Dust, and it makes your mouth full of all this gross white powder. It's just
it's awful.
You end up awful. Looking like you have rabies because of like the white chalk around your mouth or something.
Yeah, speaking of awful, the city of Oakland.
Well, no, it's not the city of Oakland that's awful.
This is true. Things happening in the city of Oakland are awful.
Zook was talking about sucking the joy out of things. Well, no one sucks the joy out of things better than Rob Manfred, who apparently was the secret sauce that the Oakland A's had simmering on the back burner. Alex Coffey on The Athletic yesterday writing that the Oakland A's had longstanding offer from Rob Manfred to pressure city on new ballpark. So,
yeah, they're threatening to leave.
Well, yeah, and so the worst thing about this is, let's do this in the middle of a pandemic, right? Yeah. Like, this is forefront on everyone's mind. We need to get in. And I feel bad for Oakland, because Oakland,
they have
lost three teams
in the last 5 years vote if the A's leave.
Right, so the Raiders are gone to Vegas. The Golden State went over to San Francisco, and if the Athletics go, you know, that's it, right? And Oakland is a city it's a tough city, right? Like, they don't have the resources as maybe major cities.
That's not true anymore. They're Silicon Valley. They're a hotspot. They have their GDP's through the roof.
Well, guess what? They haven't built a stadium, right? Where every other city that wants to keep these teams,
they should.
They felt from what I can understand from the reporting and reading a lot of accounts from Oakland fans, is that the city and the citizens of the city felt cheated by the Davises when they shelled out money.
Oh, no. I totally get that. It's just that that stadium is past its best before date. And the problem is that, you know, good luck trying to get the money squeezed out from somewhere during these times. And I mean, selfishly, I know it's not going to happen, but I could only, you know, wish that the Montreal Expos come out of this, but it won't, because it'll probably be Vegas or Portland or something would get Oakland instead of Montreal. But
the proposal actually doesn't require any, for the stadium itself doesn't require any money from Oakland, the city. However, what it does require or want is for Oakland to sink upwards of $800 million into
it's like a harborfront area. Isn't
Howard Terminal, I think they're calling it.
Yeah, they want to reroute the Bay Area Rapid Transit, aka the BART. They want to to right in front of the stadium. They want them to build a huge terminal for that, and they want to develop the land around it for upwards of $800 million. They want them to redo the plumbing and the sewer system in order for that, and it's expensive. And time and time again, after study shows that these types of projects are not at all beneficial for
the taxpayers.
For the taxpayers, sure.
The problem is that, but you have other cities that don't care, right? And so that's what happens. You know, they just built a huge, enormous thing for SoFi Stadium out in Los Angeles there, and that's the thing, is that can be all true, and that's kind of one of the reasons the Jets left the first time 1.0, is because they wanted to get a new arena and it wasn't built at that time, and that's all good, but someone will step in and build a nice shiny stadium.
Okay, and that's all in good, but I would like to argue that, like, it's if and as much as we love baseball, as much as we love sports, it's better for the city to tell them to screw it off.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to go down this path, because, you know, it was, the Jets was a very good example here. We went through a lot of arguments 20 some years ago about that. And the hard thing about it is there's emotion with everything. I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, sports was important during this time, right? A lot of people needed sports to get through, you know, we're not through it anyways, too. It's still a pandemic going, we're still in a lockdown, right? Like, it's still there, you know, like,
well, they aren't can't... though.
Here's the thing about the lockdown and about the pandemic and that stuff going on. City, state, federal governments hit hard with, you know, the increased expenditures. The really wealthy people have gotten exponentially more wealthy during this period.
Totally.
So yeah, if you're a billionaire owner of a ball team, you've got the money.
Yeah. No, and I totally agree with that. I'm just going to say that, but also there's a lot of sweetheart deals that are out there. That's, you know, how the St. Louis Rams became the Los Angeles Rams, right?
Yeah,
they shouldn't care. The people of that city should not give a damn, because it's not worth it.
Okay. Well, but talk to people who will be cheering the Winnipeg Jets next week in the playoffs. You think people would care that?
Yeah,
the
but
Jets
that's
are
not
back?
The whole city. Zook.
I got it. But guess what?
There's no, it doesn't seem that you do. Because
I do,
you keep bringing
Brian,
up the same point.
Because you know why? Because I lived through that. And you know, that's what was the argument 20 years ago when the Jets left. People didn't want to build a state arena. That's all fine. But guess what? When the Jets came back, a lot of people were happy about it. And there is some financial benefits. It's not, you know, the holy grail, but it's something.
Well,
there.
Except for the part that all the studies say that there really isn't.
I got it. I've read there's a civic pride thing,
I gather. Yeah, like that. But as far as like
buildings and we build
a benefit, those benefits go to a very narrow segment of the population.
The Jets left, and you know what? The city still existed for the 20 years that it wasn't there. The Expos left. And that city still exists.
I got it. I'm nothing against it. But guess what? If the Expos came back tomorrow, I would welcome that. And we spend money on a lot of things as a government. We prioritize what gets spent. And a lot of stuff. Oakland will probably leave because of that.
A lot of stuff that does get spent on by government does end up actually having a tangible benefit. Other than the cops, but other than that.
Because there's a lot of stuff that also gets wasted by government. You know, they spent a whole bunch of money on a Restart Manitoba last year. And what did that get us, right? That, you know, there's a lot of wasted money.
Was it like $1 billion though?
I don't know. It was a lot of money.
Advertising campaign? No, it was taxpayer money that was spent.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying is that, oh, hey, and there's pros and cons to all this. I'm just saying is that especially in the States, there's money to be abound that they'll build stadiums when they need to. Sometimes the billionaires pay for it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's half and half. And in this case here, Oakland has been in an obsolete building for quite a while. They've been trying to get a new building and they're using the leverage there to try and get them.
And when
to
we say trying
stadium.
To get a new building, what they've been trying to do is get the city to pay for it.
There's no doubt about it. Sure. I mean, if you can get it for free and then you reap the benefits of it, that's what happens in sports a lot in North America.
Well, I'm proud of the city of Oakland for telling the owners to shove it.
Well, they haven't yet. It's not over yet. I mean, they're not done yet. There might be a last minute thing, but probably Oakland won't have them, much longer if it keeps going that way. But I mean, there's only been two franchises that have moved in the last 20 some or 30 years, Montreal. And is that it? Like, and then there was some, maybe in the 70s, there was a franchise. Baseball doesn't move a lot of franchises all the time. Like they'd rather do expansion because you can get two more teams in and a whole bunch of more expansion fee money too. But I mean, if they're going to move, they moved Montreal and the Nationals got moved in the 70s there. And so, I mean, if Oakland, you know, they don't have a new stadium and the owner wants to make more money, he'll find another place to play.
Yeah, and MLB, as it, you know, shows its ass, it's Rob Manfred doing the owner's bidding and not what's good for necessarily like.
But it happens in all the four leagues in North America. I mean, you know, they've pushed teams out of other places or put them into other places.
It happens in the quote unquote business of sports because it's not a true business.
Well, it's a monopoly. Oh,
and
yes.
Not only that, but like, you know, if you're a citizen of Oakland, you know, even if you're just a casual fan of the A's and take a look at that team that has where the owners have penny pinched and spent exactly $0 on that team. And then expecting the city to front a bunch of cash in order to help them out. No,
yeah. I will say this. It happened in Minnesota. They were going to contract them and they put that threat out there. And I think it was the Pollards who were owning at the time.
Well, the only reason they stayed is because they already had a deal with the Hubie.
Yeah, but they also squeezed that. That's how Target Field came about, is that there was also a chance that they would leave and they spent money to build that stadium. And that's kind of kept Minnesota there, right? Because they got a nice shiny stadium now.
I didn't think that they would have stayed regardless.
Oh, I don't know about that. No, the Metrodome was not. That wasn't. They want to make more money with these new stadiums.
Yeah, but I
the stadium that was the only baseball only. These are all baseball only stadiums.
I think if you call the baseball only thing is also kind of a BS move because if you're talking about trying to convince the city to do this, then you can't use like.
It's not great. It isn't great. Like the way that they moved out of the cookie cutter sort of, you know, the multi-purpose stadiums, those are actually really made more sense for the community. At least you could have, you know, multiple tenants in there. You can actually have multiple community to use it. Yes, a baseball only stadium is only for baseball. But now you've got to a point now, like there's only soccer only stadiums in North America where before they would play anywhere. Now you have only soccer only stadiums. So this is sort of unfortunate, you know, the way it is in North America is that they're spending money.
And it's not the way that it should be. And when a city does stand up to a team or an owner like this, we should give them the props. And so I think Mike's on board with me. I'm not going to do that.
I think we're giving the A's props.
Two-thirds of this show are giving the A's props.
We're not giving the A's props.
I'm not giving the A's
props. We're giving the city props.
I get it. I'm not against, I don't want them to get railroad, but I do believe there's something about that. You know, there is an intrinsic value of having sporting teams in a community. I mean,
I don't. I love sports, and I don't believe that. I don't believe that one iota. If you're gonna,
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I would disagree.
You're just going to talk over me. That's cool.
I understand your point of view. I got it.
It was a round, not over. We pretty much have to wrap up, however. I know that.
Oh, no, hold on here.
I
want to pour one out for Kansas City Royals. They had a fun run.
Oh, yeah, they lost 10.
11. It's now 11 in a row. And the Mets are actually on a 7-game win streak. So there is, you know, you got your yin and yang there going. But the Royals had a good run, but it's over. So there
you go. Okay. On that note, what's coming up at 1 o'clock? I
got a whole bunch of great new music coming up, including stuff from Lorax, Midnight After
the Lorax?
Midnight.
Dr. Seuss's The Lorax?
What well, there's a, there's an emo oh. band called Lorax from Australia.
They might get cancel culture there.
Put out a new EP called
The Lorax
Unless.
Is fine. That's not one of the books that was troublesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Also got stuff from After Midnight and Origami Angel.
There we go. That's coming up on the Pity Party. 1 o'clock.
Brand new stuff.
Always brand new stuff.
Sometimes you said last week you didn't have a lineup. This week you got a lineup. I like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's good stuff.
It's Thursday night. Let the man make a show.
Oh yeah, no, that's awesome. let's do it. Let's everyone listen to the Pity Party at 1 o'clock today.
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be back next Friday.
Oh, and where are the Goldeyes playing? Do we know that yet?
Tennessee.
There you go. Yeah. And that's coming up in a couple weeks time.
They're already playing exhibition games.
Yeah,
21st,
I believe, is the first official game. Yeah. And our friends at CGN U Nostalgia will have the play-by-play of all the games this season, because of course there won't be home games.
Go fish go.
Hey, guess what? Everyone's gonna play ball.
Strike three, you're out.